The seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the pride and joy of this noble ummah. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the embodiment of the Islamic personality and character. His sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life was the most perfect actualization of the hukum sharia, and his sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mission was the exemplary method of the implementation of Islam. Inshallah, this series will focus on lessons from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that are pertinent to the resumption of the Islamic way of life and the re-establishment of the righteous Khilafah.
Seerah, Episode 18. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Muhammad, the Prophet of Mercy, the one who fulfilled the hopes of the weak. Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. The torture of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his Sahaba went on unabated for some time, until the Quraysh realized that it was all in vain. It failed to force the Muslims back from their Islam, and it failed to stop or even slow down the Dawah. So they resorted to another method in order to fight the Dawah, which consisted of libel and propaganda against Islam and the Muslims. This method was used in all its types and forms, ranging from arguments, debates, mockery and a smear campaign. Libel was used against the Islamic Aqidah itself and directly against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Quraysh lied about him and accused him falsely. They planned and schemed many ways to discredit him. The Quraysh carefully prepared how best they could discredit Islam, especially in the Hajj season. They went so far as to consult with Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira in order to formulate ways to libel the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They focused on what they should tell the Arabs coming to Mecca for Hajj. Some suggested they should announce that he was a kahin, a fortune teller. Al-Walid rejected this by pointing out that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was devoid of the unintelligent murmuring and rhyme speech of the kahin. Some claimed that he was a poet, yet they knew poetry in all its forms and meters and so rejected this claim too. Others suggested that he was possessed. Al-Walid also rejected this, for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's behavior was not that of a possessed man. Still, others started accusing him of sorcery. Al-Walid rejected this idea, saying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not practice the secret arts performed by the sorcerers, such as the well-known ritual of blowing on knots. After a lengthy debate, the Quraysh agreed to accuse him of being a sorcerer possessing sihr al-bayan, magic of words. Afterwards, they dispersed among the congregations of the pilgrims, warning the Arabs against listening to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and depicting him as a magician of speech. They said that his message separated a man from his brother, or from his father, or his wife, or his family. However, this propaganda did not work, and the message of Islam continued to grip the minds of the people. The Quraysh then approached another Ibn al-Harith and assigned him to the task of campaigning against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whenever he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, held a meeting to which people were invited, reminding them of Allah and his punishment on the previous nations, another Ibn al-Harith arose and narrated stories about the kings of Persia and their religion. He proclaimed, "In what respect is Muhammad a better storyteller than I? Does he not expound the tales of the past the same as I do?" Quraysh spread such stories and gossip widely. They told people what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying was not from Allah, but was instead taught to him by a Christian youth named Jabir. This rumor spread among the people until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied by revealing the following verse.
وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّمَا يُعَلِّمُهُ بَشَرٌ لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَهَذَا لِسَانٌ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ.
And indeed, we know that they say, it is only a human being who teaches him, Muhammad, the tongue of the man they refer to is foreign, while this is a clear Arabic tongue. Surah An-Nahl, verse 103. The Quraysh wanted to prove the Quran wrong. They accused him of being a sorcerer with magic of words, because whoever listened to the Quran would be attracted towards it. It had a special impact. This is because it is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracle revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had challenged Quraysh that if they thought Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not Allah's messenger, then they too should bring speech like the Quran. They were not able to do so. They tried but failed. They were unable to thwart the Quran. On the contrary, the leaders of Makkah were themselves becoming attracted to the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ used to spend a large portion of the night in worship, praying and reciting the Quran. A thought came to some of the leaders of Makkah, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, Abu Jahl, and Al-Akhnas. They said that they should go at night and listen to the Quran. So they went out in the darkness of the night to Muhammad ﷺ's home and each hid outside in a place to listen, each unaware that the others were present. When they heard the verses of the Quran, they were mesmerized and they remained there listening until the first light of dawn. When they got up to finally leave, they bumped into each other. Each one reassured the others that they must not do such a thing again. If the people found out that the leaders of Quraysh went out to listen to the Quran under the cover of darkness, it would make their struggle against Islam weak and it would strengthen the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the following night each of them thought that the other two would not come, so each went out again to listen to the Quran, and then dawn broke. They bumped into each other again. Again, they blamed each other and said that they would not do the same a third time. However, the same occurred on the third night, and then they made a solemn vow to each other not to do so again. It was obvious from this that they were feeling weak in comparison to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not know how to counter this new deen. However, they were also not willing to change their ways due to their stubbornness, arrogance and jahil thinking. They had decided to stand against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam no matter what. How far they went in this, we will discuss in future episodes, inshallah. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.